Hello, everyone, and welcome to Nonproductive, your only podcast. We've deleted all the others. I'm Frank. I'm joined by your co-hosts, Matt, Pete, and Al. And we're going to be talking about all the geek stuff. Literally everything. Everything that's happening in geek, probably from a couple of weeks ago, because we're getting really old. Getting really old, you guys. Yeah. I'm not on the edge of anything.
I'm using dial-up.
I'm looking at my notes for today, and it's like, this happened 2 weeks ago? This happened years ago, Matt.
It's sort of relevant now.
All right.
In a way.
We'll see. And actually, let's not bury the lead on this. Matt, you've accomplished something amazing in the last few days. Tell us about it.
Yes, I finally beat Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yay! Well, there's a thing under the bell. Stop the bell from making it nice noise.
And all right, so, good for you. Yes, while it did come out a while ago, I think it was last year.
Yeah.
And it took me this long to actually finish it. There is a new DLC that was just released recently, I believe maybe like last week or so. So which kind of motivated me to go back and finish the game.
Oh, all right, cool. What was a DLC?
It's apparently an addition to the story.
What was it about?
I wasn't asking what a DLC is. It was like, does DLC? It's
new shoes for Mickey. He has super shiny.
No, but it's kind of like expounded on the very confusing ending of 3.
Oh, so interesting. Yeah, all right,
that's kind of like Kingdom Hearts 3, where the director Tetsuya Nomura, he is very much. He really loves doing his own thing. Like, he's kind of like notorious for doing projects his own way. And like, he used to work like recently. He was part of the original director for the Final Fantasy 15 project, but like that got delayed with like a whole bunch of different reasons. So he was taken off it. But then he was brought back to Kingdom Hearts, which is really his baby.
All right,
and
cool.
So he really uses the fact that like it's kind of like his project, like his personal project, to really do whatever he wants. And I honestly respect that a lot. Like it really shows like his level of confidence, where he does whatever the hell story beats he wants to do. If he wants to contradict something done several years ago in a different game, no problem, he'll do it.
Wait until he gets to Dave Sims level Cerebus, where he's just like, I'm just going to write an essay. This isn't even going to be a video game anymore. It's just going to be text on the page, scrolling through. Press A to scroll.
We're just going to film some recyclables. It's fine.
Hey! so many different... so many heartbreaks we could bring up for this reference. Yeah, no, but that's cool. And this is a... It expands upon his ending.
Ending and really sets up for, I guess, like the future of the franchise, which people kind of like, okay, now the 3's done. Are they kind of... done with this thing, like, no, they're going to continue it.
There's whole other numbers. Although, there's fours, there's fives, goes on.
I mean, it's weird because no one's really sure what's going to happen, like, on the Disney end, since kind of like Disney's mostly working with, like, EA, like, at least in terms of, like, Star Wars and maybe, like, other Disney products, and, like, and also MCU, so no one's really sure if kind of, like, they're going to stick around with Square Enix or... if they're just going to, like, take out all the Disney stuff and just have it be original characters that they've been kind of, like, pushing along.
That'd be interesting.
Am I mistaken? I thought there was a Square Avengers game coming out.
That's right. That is Square Enix, isn't it? Okay. So, all right. So, yeah, it looks like there is a relationship established.
You're listening to the production show. So, yes, we are researching this and figuring out what we're doing.
Al's right. I
never
say
those words. Never. it's always still a mystery because Disney is a mystery, and how they do things moving forward is going to be. But you like it. My favorite part about this ending is that it implies strongly that people who already played and beat Kingdom Hearts and your review of it, Matt, where people already played and beat it, are now like, oh, do I need to play it again to get the DLC? What if it solves all the problems in my life? That's what I would think if I were a gamer.
There are very few DLCs that do that.
But that solve all the problems in your life? specifically?
I don't know, man. That last Mass Effect 3 DLC solved a lot of problems in my life.
Well, there you go. You never know. I would recommend Dombro recommends.
It was like over a decade ago. You're still thinking about
that. No, I'm thinking about the one they got when everyone was in the hotel room together. They had that big rap party.
Yeah, that was like a decade ago.
It was great. I still
the man's life got saved.
I guess
changed.
Still
I don't remember what we said, but now it's saved.
It was great. It
saved his life.
Yeah.
It was a great hotel party. All right. Speaking of Disney being all over the place, I have some news that I should have shared 2 weeks ago. So I was on a Disney call with like their annual report, their investors call, and they did bring up some like obvious things that Disney would bring up in this call, but two things that I thought were of interest to this group of nerds. During the fiscal call, after the usual Disney properties that they discussed, that how well they did this year, I'm thinking Frozen 2 got mentioned. I remember the specific ones. I think it was Lion King, Frozen 2, the ones that would have been up for Oscar that next weekend. Mm. The first other property they mentioned that was like a stellar year for them was The Simpsons. The Simpsons was like literally first paragraph that Bob Iger went into. It was talking about how The Simpsons is so great. And I'm like, yeah, it's a pretty big deal. I was floored by the world we're living in now.
What do they have going on besides just the TV show? Is it really just the TV show?
No, it's the
show?
Marketing. It's all of the, like...
Well, what marketing? Like, what franchise stuff?
They've got mobile games, right?
Yep.
Tap Dad's pretty fun.
Yep. Okay. They have all of their, like, all of the Simpsons merchandise and everything. Like, it's
but
huge.
To be fair, they specifically were talking about Disney Plus. And they were like, that was apparently the most popular, one of the most popular things on the service... aside from a few like big movie releases, which I think was Lion King and Frozen maybe, it wasn't even a Frozen originally. They were just talking about Frozen 2 in theaters. But on Disney Plus, aside from those like big releases, The Simpsons was the downloaded thing.
Doesn't it like not even have the whole entire series yet?
It's not up in the correct format, I think, yet. it is. Pete, I'm surprised you're just like choking back your desire to ha-ha this. Like, as a Simpsons fan, don't you feel vindicated somehow?
I'm not that passionate about The Simpsons right now for some reason.
Mute your mic.
I'm sorry.
What happened to you?
I don't know, man. Grump. I've just become quite blasé about it.
Yeah, it's the corporate buyout.
He is wearing a French cap. What are those things called?
A beret.
He's wearing a beret, and he's got that stripy shirt, like a prisoner and or a Frenchman. And he's got a baguette.
Allow me.
He's very ennui. See? It's the only accent you can keep doing. It's fine. Irish, I guess. But that, I don't know. White people accents are fine. Anyways, Mandalorian came out in the second paragraph. The second thing he said was Mandalorian got mentioned next. With a specific call out to, and I quote, a certain child that has taken pop culture by storm, end quote.
I mean, the child has taken everything.
Still has legs.
Still has memes. Tons of memes.
The meme game is strong. Somehow, I don't know why, like be a toy in a McDonald's chicken nugget meal, because chicken nuggies and the child go hand in hand somehow.
Yeah.
Even though never happened on the show. Never ate a chicken nuggie or even a chicken. He has swallowed frogs whole, alive, froggish things.
Yeah.
But somehow the meme
never said nuggy.
Never said nuggy, never implied nuggy, but that's apparently what people looked at and were like, nuggy.
Nuggies are kind of like one of those things where, like, if you have, like, baby characters or whatever, like, infantile thing, it's like,
a
I want
nuggies. Phrase, yeah.
Like, I want nuggies. And this, it could be, like, either, like, a little child, like the, like, Baby Yoda, or it could be, like, a 30-year-old person that really just wants nuggies.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's 100% the latter. But yes, so, and I'm not saying that any of this is news to us, but it's crazy for me for a billion-dollar company, multi-billion-dollar company, to be like, so The Simpsons seems to be a thing we should vote. And then also chicken nuggies. He didn't say chicken nuggies in defense, but like close enough. He said the child, and to me those are the same. What a weird world we're living in where that is... It was like 10 years ago, it was, my mom knows who Iron Man is. What kind of world am I living in? And now it's like multi-billion dollar companies are like, let's invest in Professor Farnsworth. No, that's Futurama. Fink is who I was thinking
multi-billion
of.
Companies are aware of properties they recently purchased.
And
I'm going to lower your mic even more. What's happening?
I don't know.
What's happening with you? Is this a problem?
I'm just saying.
I'm aware. Okay. But they didn't say, like, this is a grossing property. It wasn't like math. It was like he was about the child.
Okay.
Good. You made me feel bad about feeling good.
We're all
something.
Excited about the child. It's okay. I mean, I pre-ordered my Star Wars The Black Series, The Child.
The $300 puppet thing?
No, it's like $10.99.
All right.
Wow, that's really on sale.
You call yourself a true fan? All right. Regardless.
God, what scale is that?
It's in six-inch scale.
Six-inch scale? It's only $10.99 these
what's
days?
What's the number on, like, because he's...
He's in scale with 6-inch figures. He comes like what's the bassinet or whatever it is,
like the little carrier thing.
Yeah.
True story. Parents who are listening to this podcast while they're trying to put their ungrateful child to bed. Best thing about The Mandalorian to me is that hover bassinet. How amazing would it be to have a hover bassinet that follows you around? I would put potato chips in it. I don't know what I would like. It would be so useful. So useful.
Yeah.
Hover bassinets.
I would definitely put snacks in it.
Because he runs and it just follows and it's just kind of like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's perfect.
He doesn't even have to move it himself.
We just need to develop a power source that doesn't run out at inopportune times.
The Force. Work on it, Elon Musk. So anyways, what was
Elon Musk doesn't control the Force. Yet
you haven't. Well, anyways, the end of that fiscal call wasn't about Elon Musk, but the future of Star Wars. So it was interesting. It's a little bit more serious. No, apparently the as far as Disney's concerned, and there's a lot of mystery about what Disney thinks and wants to do with Star Wars and a lot of other properties. But it seemed to me, listening into the call, was that the future of Star Wars for the next few years is The Mandalorian and countries that have less history with the franchise. So one of the things they were really excited about is they're going to move into India, and I think next year, and other nations in the world other than the U.S., non-English-speaking nations. And one of the things they found about those other properties that they're trying to expand into is that a lot of them don't have the long history that we as Americans have with Star Wars.
Which is why the sequel trilogy kept failing in China.
Well, it's why people were less agitated by the sequel trilogy in China, right? Because people don't have this deep invested... Because like the sequel trilogy isn't like, this won't make sense if you haven't seen the original movies. As evident from significant others in this group have never seen the original movies. Mm. Like, it's just... lights and blow sound effects and cool things. They couldn't care less about the old people who were in the movie who like died once a movie. I mean, to be blunt and cruel from their perspective, they didn't care about it at all.
It's the Fast and the Furious with snazzier helmets.
Sure. And they, Disney's saying that the people who seem to be reacting most positively to Star Wars stuff, it's the stuff that lives independently of that original trilogy, which honestly, that tracks for me. I'm an original trilogy fan and I'm like, I like Mandalorian. Don't keep rehashing stuff from the original trilogy. Don't make everybody somebody's grandfather. I don't need a history lesson to enjoy Star Wars.
Yeah, I thought Rebels was awesome, and Rebels had very little to do with the original trilogy. I mean, it did a little bit later on. You had, like, guest star appearances from other characters, but,
mostly it's its own thing.
Yeah.
And apparently that's where Disney wants to move Star Wars, as much as you can decipher from a fiscal call where people are trying to sell the fact that they sold a million different Disney Plus subscriptions.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah. Million, probably a billion, whatever. But yeah, it's cool. And I, for one, am glad that we won't have to constantly redo the original trilogy. Speaking of movies that are getting redones.
The original trilogy of Star Wars.
Yeah.
McClunky.
McClunky. We're just talking the last half hour of the show is McClunky.
Mac and me.
Birds of Prey. Only one of us has seen it.
Yes.
Pete, what did you think of Birds of Prey?
Well, nobody else is going to see it because it's not, because Birds of Prey is no longer in theaters. Now it's Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey.
Well, wasn't that like debunked? Wasn't it an executive?
No. It's changed. What happened was, is from what I understand, this is coming from like news sources, like I was listening to on the way here.
From news sources. I get things from the news. I'm well educated.
It was a change that they had done to make like searching the film easier. Like the official title of the film hasn't changed. They're not like patching it so that like a different credit scene shows up. They're just like, well, people want to find the Harley Quinn movie, so why don't we, so we're changing the name so you can look for it when you're like buying it off of your website, or so you can find Harley Quinn, and there's the Harley Quinn
film. So making changes to movies based on SEO, that's a new one.
Yeah,
it's and that's, I mean, I don't understand how that helps, because Harley Quinn was in the title anyway.
Yeah, if you're
It was a little too long, so it became like...
Did it get abbreviated to Birds of Prey? Maybe. Yeah. I mean, there's probably... I don't think it... This isn't super complicated. This is the least controversial thing about it. But it is funny that it's another movie that gets getting some sort of patch note.
It was something that kept popping into my mind as I was watching the movie. I'm like, why? Why did they call this movie Birds of Prey?
Well, that's for different reasons.
Because it has nothing to do with Birds of Prey,
The comic property?
The comic property, the TV show, anything. This was a Harley Quinn movie.
All right,
that's, cool. I mean, there was no two ways about it. They made a Harley Quinn movie. Why didn't they just call it a Harley Quinn movie? She's way more popular than the Birds of Prey ever have been. Why wouldn't you do it?
Or just,
I don't understand.
Or just give it the title that they gave it later, which was just Harley Quinn. Birds of Prey.
Yes.
Hyphen, Fantabulous.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious. But that was a movie. Yeah.
That being said, the movie was very good.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. And it's
a non-pro review. We talk about the movie for 12 minutes before we're like, oh, it's good. Sorry. Yeah. I forgot to mention that a little earlier.
No, I mean, it's awesome. It's fun. It's, it's kick-ass action. And it's something that I have been hoping for a while with... when it comes to like female empowerment and minority representation in a movie, in that it's not about female empowerment or minority representation. They don't, that's not an element to it at all. It just is. The women are empowered.
Oh yeah.
They're
not
talking about that.
Right. They're just
doing it. It's,
yeah, it's not the like, well, every story involving women or people of color or anything always has to be about them overcoming their... No, this is just they're doing what...
They're just badasses.
Yeah.
Doing their thing.
So like, kind of like normalizing just that they're awesome.
Exactly.
Which, yeah, I could see that.
That to me is the end goal of, these movements is to make it normal. Make it so that we don't have to keep talking about it.
Right. So
I'm very in favor of this. It was very good.
My only question, as pretty much the only criticism I've had of DC movies that I can like form into a easy yes no question, was it dark?
I would not say dark. It was not light, but it's certainly not the grim dark, Man of Steel.
I assume it earns the R rating that it has.
Oh, it earns the R rating both gore and swearing.
Nice.
I wouldn't say it's any darker than like Deadpool.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Deadpool is a very
call that dark. It's certainly violent, but it's not like it's like, I guess grimdark has become the word we use, but like where you're just like, oh my god, someone throw a pie, which I'm sure that might actually happen in this movie. All right, I am interested in going seeing it, perhaps for Valentine's Day.
I will neither confirm nor deny pie throwing.
All right.
Spoilers, people.
Speaking of pie throwing, that's not quite connected. I guess we could do either. So yeah, let's let this be user decide, or you could chime in the chat room. Should we talk about the XFL pie throwing, or should we just keep it on comics? Seems like the more professional thing to do would be to keep it on comics.
Yeah, that's fair.
What have we ever been professional
about? That's right. The XFL, about throwing a pie. Very briefly, anyone here see a game?
I saw the first game they did way back when McMahon first tried the XFL. What was it, like 10 years ago?
I love the fact that Al has no idea that it came back.
No, it came back. I know it did. Right.
More like 20 years ago.
Once upon a time. Back, I remember playing Mass Effect, getting that great, great ending, and then I went right onto the XFL until the last 5 minutes. Although it was more than 20 years ago. Yeah, it was.
Just under 20 years ago.
Wow. Just under 20 years. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So very briefly, my two cents on this. I'm not talking about the ancient XFL. The new one. It seems like it could be a good minor league for NFL, but really, like, the games were all shutouts. Not shutouts completely, but, like, they were heavily one-sided, and there's no reason to support any team other than I am physically near this team, right?
Take it back. My beloved New York Guardians are the best.
You know what? I don't hate them. I do like the fact that they look like the football team from the Gargoyles, and yeah, I guess
that was fun.
Man, who would have thought Vince McMahon would make an event that where the people participating you have no investment in, and who and where the events are dragged out longer than they claim they should be.
Yeah,
wow.
I don't know though. It outperformed the lowest rated ones. Outperformed both Raw and SmackDown.
Oh, dang.
Listen, we're not experts. We're not experts on anything. Oh, Al, sorry, you have something to say about not being
like,
an expert?
This is my thing. Like when Vince McMahon was bringing the XFL back, part of me was thinking, like, man, why don't you just do what you did with wrestling? Like, why
ruin
don't
it?
I mean, when he first did wrestling, like, why don't we make this scripted?
Buy out the competition?
Gimmicks, like full gimmicks?
Yeah.
So, all right, so a little bit more information. Original XFL had a little bit more heavy-handed gimmicks.
Yes,
a little bit. This felt more like a legitimate sporting event, which part of me is like, Frankie, you don't like this.
Yeah.
Which is how I talk to myself when I'm watching sports. Frankie, you don't like this. But then the other hand, I'm like, this is also, how insufferable was it and would it have been if this were all like, he hate me. Which I don't mind, but no. Like if everybody was a he hate me, if it was all just everybody's own pronouns.
I think back when, like, the original XFL, when it was gimmicky, that was back when wrestling seemed a lot more gimmicky. Even, like, wrestling today, at least WWE wrestling, seems a bit more grounded. You have exceptions like The Fiend and other stuff, but, like, they're trying to, quote-unquote, legitimize it in ways by having, like, former actual mixed martial artists or having more, like, well, these are actual athletes competing, like, make it a competition. Because, like, Vince McMahon's big end game was always to become legitimate. Like, he's always, like, even with wrestling. So it's not surprising to me that he wants to try to make himself seem like a legitimate sports owner.
But, like, but it'd be fun if it was, like, if every game was just Remember the Titans. Like, I'm not saying make it so gimmicky that it's like if it was scripted and it was like everything was kind of like really
the Harlem Globetrotters, but for football.
Yeah.
Everybody gets a radio on the sidelines.
It would just be really, I think it'd be really fun if he just embraced what made wrestling succeed. And just
Adam
go like
Sandler could come as the water boy and pitch whatever.
It'd be fun. It's like, oh my god, oh my gosh, this guy is wounded, but his father shows up, says, "No, son, I got this," and like takes the football out, like, and they make them win the game. It's like everything's like, yeah.
You're proposing some elaborate dinner theater style football event that I would assume only lasts 2 hours because who could stomach that kind of movie for like four, and then do it live. Every week.
Four times a week.
They
four
do
times
that a week. With wrestling already.
Not with that many people, man.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. It's like, this. If you watch wrestling, the hardest time to do any of that is when you have, like, the battle royals with 30 guys in the ring at the same time.
Yeah.
Right.
You have to do this with 22 guys on the field.
Hey, listen, some of them just don't get characters. It happens. We're sorry.
All right. They're like the trees. Yeah. They're background artists. They're the trees of the play who don't do anything. Excellent.
Yep.
My Lord.
Not everyone in the movie had a character. In those movies had characters. Like, in what's it?
I can't wait for you to finish this thought where you're saying a bunch of actors in movies, major motion pictures, were not really characters. Do this. Feel this out. Al, say it. Name names.
Some people were stand-ins. It happened. I was an extra. I was not a character when I was acting. It happened in a movie. I didn't get a name. I was just there.
But you like a thought of a name for yourself, right?
Was kid number 264. It didn't matter. You're player 67 with your name on the back of your shirt, and we don't get to know you.
Love to see this because I would love to see those extras like milling about on the field while somebody has like an oppressive play, and they're like, "What are we supposed to be doing? I don't know. Just don't get hurt. Just don't get hurt." That's
one
awesome.
Kid that rides the bench in the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah. All right. So that's awesome. My final thoughts on the XFL, or at least so far, is that if they can last for like 2 years at the way they're doing now, and
they've already done better than the original.
Definitely, but they'll have enough. They'll build enough of that fan base where I think as a minor league for the NFL, it could be fun. But as of now, like them winning really, your local team doing very well means nothing because you don't care about any of these people. And them doing very poorly means you want to go home super early. There's none of that like investiture that you have if you're like actually care about these teams because they're a legacy team like in the NFL. All right, that's it for us on the XFL. For more in-depth coverage of it, check out our friend Bob over at i80sports.com. We are doing a special crossover promotional event with them. Check them out, i80sports.com. They're with our very own Mike Kilroy. Bob and Mike are talking a little bit more in-depth about the games from this past week. Ow!
I went to a convention last weekend.
Okay.
I went to ZoloCon up in Pennsylvania.
F yeah, man. Zebras only live once.
It's one of the largest toy conventions over in the tri-state area. It was really, really cool. It takes place in an aerospace museum. So you have like this big fuselage right in the middle of the convention.
Oh, nice.
So it's a really great atmosphere. Really great. Just really, really cool.
Is it just collectors mostly, or are there like people showing off their own toys? That wouldn't...
Oh, there's you have people like the Mythic Legion and stuff like that. Oh, nice. Who, you know, have their own product or make their own toys and show up. But it's a lot of just the retro stuff that you would... Or there's some of the modern stuff as well. As you have like Marvel Legends sellers and so on and so forth.
Mm.
But it's just a really, really cool atmosphere. People there are very, very friendly. You have a lot of like cosplayers and stuff with their own booths and artist alleys and so on and so forth. As with any other convention. But it was just a really nice atmosphere. I definitely say, like, highly recommend go to ZoloCon if you get the chance next year.
Go back in time and... Oh, you mean next year. Yes,
yeah,
that would
next
be
year. Really, really great. Again, highly recommend.
Hey, next year, take us with you. I want to go to this convention. I really do. I want to talk to a lot of people who... My favorite thing in the world back before Pete became this jaded Frenchman before us who hates... who's full of ennui and dislikes life. One of my favorite things to do was toy mods. I love talking toy mods and...
God, Mythic Legions is so cool because they have, like, all these, like, really cool... Like, they're essentially just kind of like these toys that you, like, have some semblance of modification to, but, like, are all references to toys that came before. And, like, it's just... Again, I would say look them up. They're really fun.
That's awesome.
I deeply remember trying to go out and buy as many Silver Surfer action figures as I could because he was essentially a blank action figure.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's really interesting.
This is how my mind worked with that. I never made a good model off of him.
It almost feels like it's a, you know, hard to. That's my big problem. I think I'd be too afraid to mess with any of the toys I got.
Oh, absolutely. Where I'm at. I can't put brush to
unless
anything.
It was super damaged, like it was a garage sale. Fine, maybe then I would do it. But all right, cool. ZoloCon. I'm excited about that. You had a good time there. Let's actually talk about comics. We teased it before stupidly. Let's actually do this. Any good comics this week? Either anybody here read? I have two kind of recommendations. One is very iffy, and the first one I'll talk about is Amazing Spider-Man. 39, I think, came out this week. 38 was last week. I just read 38 and picked up 39. In it, Spider-Man is kind of working with, and this has been happening for a while, kind of working with J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah, they've buried the hatchet.
Yeah, and there's this, basically Spider-Man, it starts off with Spider-Man doing a bank robbery for good reason, and J. Jonah Jameson has the opportunity to throw him under the bus, but doesn't, because of course not, comedy ensues. and it's mostly about this superhero villain betting parlor, like this, where people would bet on the outcomes of fights that superheroes have, which is awesome. And it brings back an old villain called Chance.
Yep.
Oh my God, that's very obscure.
Very yeah. obscure old Spider-Man villain.
And it's a lot of fun. I love the concept of a betting underground betting parlor. Because it makes a lot of sense. There's cameras everywhere. They're monitoring the stuff always. And they're not just betting on outcomes. They specifically mention this in the first book. They had to bring it up. They're like, you could bet on how long the thing will last, or how much collateral damage there will be, or whether or not the hero quips. Yeah. And I'm like, that's great. That's damage control level. Oh, this is an interesting little bit of world building.
Yeah. I like that they point out that, of course, it's not just who's going to win. It's Spider-Man. He always wins.
Yeah. Very neat.
Yeah, because to a certain extent, like, you always know the good guy's going to come out on top, or you hope they do. But like,
and they do.
Yeah. But I'm just also considering this. Like, how illegal is this? Like, can't you? Like, cause
yeah. It's, I don't know. I mean, I guess just gambling in general. I don't know what the rules are in Marvel's universe.
I feel like if this was in real life, it wouldn't be underground. It would actually be like a Vegas thing.
Oh, yeah. If there was like a prolonged period where superheroes were real, yeah, maybe. Although we haven't gotten super degenerate in our real world with horrible travesties that happen all the time.
Vegas does take bets on WWE events.
Oh, God. And I think presidential elections. Weird. So one thing that I didn't get in this book was apparently Spider-Man's sister is involved. Spider-Man has a sister. What?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Pete, do you know anything about this?
I do not remember when this happened. I did not read that, but it's relatively recent. And apparently he's got this long lost sister who has been a deep cover spy.
Yeah.
Apparently her entire life.
Yeah, she was recruited as a baby. She's his younger sister.
Yeah.
That is Peter's younger sister.
Younger,
so even odder that he wouldn't know she was around, but I guess it depends on how old Peter was when his parents died.
But she followed her parents into the spy game because they were apparently big super spies.
I'm surprised that that stuck from, I think that first came up in
like, Annual 2. Like, this is old Spider-Man.
Really?
Him coming.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, him going to clear his parents' names was the Spider-Man Annual 2. It was not that long into the run that they brought up the.
Oh, wow. I have no idea because it barely ever comes up.
It doesn't.
And almost always in like the Ben Reilly stuff, which is. Yeah. Old now, but somewhat.
But oh my God, I'm hope like it's weird because they brought the parents back at one point, and I'm hoping this isn't like gonna turn out the same way. We're like, they were robots all along, and like his sister's gonna turn out, like, I'm a robot this entire time.
It's gonna turn out that both his parents were actually half spiders. And it was just coincidence. He's like, oh, you got bit by radioactive spider? No, that just would have happened in puberty. Then Aunt May comes in, calls up the wall, and goes like, screw you, sucker! I was always I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna back this.
So does she have spider powers, or is she just kind of his sister?
She's just a spy.
She has spy powers.
Oh, Jesus.
She's very much like a more nice Black Widow, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. A more quippy.
It's
Black
not like
Widow,
she's Silk. the girl that got bitten by the same spider that bit Peter and had to live in a
thing.
It was like a danger room.
Yeah.
For years.
Comics are terrible.
They are.
But this wasn't. It was terrible. Kind of fun.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And this story was a lot of fun. 38 is the only one I got through, and it was great because it talks about the way the internet works now at 100%. I posted it on Facebook. And
I saw it. That was good.
In our fan club, and it is pretty damn accurate. The rage.
So who
wheel.
Is that character though? Is that's not the sister character?
No, right? That is one of J. Jonah Jameson's old writers who left and came back, and it's like, listen, this is new media. Let me show you J. Jonah.
She just hired Jameson.
Yeah, and said this is your new empire, and Jameson is kind of iffy about it. Like he's impressed, but also he's turned over a leaf. So we'll see how long this lasts. Yeah. It's fun. Nice to see Chance back, and nice to see an old villain getting some. Yeah.
It's very bizarre. Like, I'm trying to reconcile myself with Peter having a sister, but I'm kind of like, oh Jesus, it doesn't matter. Like, it's just they just want to tell a story where Peter has a sister, And it's fine. Like, if it sticks, it sticks, and that's cool. But, like, don't – I shouldn't be kicking up any dust about it just because, like, what is going on? This is going to be done. Yeah. This is going to be a robot. Like, whatever.
It
doesn't matter.
It's a weird thing. In practice, she works an awful lot like a familiar in Dungeons & Dragons. Like, she really just doesn't exist until you decide you need her.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Too soon to tell, but...
People just ignore her.
Also too soon to tell. Nebula number one dropped. It is definitely Nebula from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mean, it's more and more these characters, especially in Guardians, are matching up with what their Cinematic Universe version is.
Because from what I remember of the comic book version of Nebula, she's not very, like... She's not very sympathetic.
Oh, and she's not sympathetic in this story in number one. I won't spoil anything. She is horrible, but she feels more like the Nebula we saw in the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, interesting read. I would recommend it. So far, I'm liking the story. I think it goes, I hope it'll go in a good place. Although it ends kind of stereotypically soap opera-like, where it's like, oh, this is, of course, dun, this is dun, the story. You mentioned something, Pete, about a Guardians,
they just recently wrapped up the Yondu limited series.
That's interesting.
Which, interestingly, made the attempt to reconcile the differences between the original source Yondu and the Marvel version, or the MCU version.
How'd they do it?
Well, the way it works, if you remember, the original Guardians of the Galaxy from Marvel Comics were essentially Marvel's version of the Legion of Superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
They existed in the far-flung future. And in this, now we find out that the Yondu from that, who was also the... I can't remember what the Centaurians or whatever. Yeah. Had the big sail fin on his head. Blue guy, bone arrow. He is the distant descendant of... The Marvel the MCU version.
Movie Yondu.
Movie
Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
So, and if you know the old Yondu,
The future Yondu.
Yeah. Original Yondu was very much about honor and duty. That was the way of his people. And he's forced to come back in time to the present and enlist the help of Movie Yondu. And he's apparently, Movie Yondu was a legend in his time, and he's shattered to find out that that he's a horrible pirate.
Oh, that's awesome.
With no honor.
That's really cool.
It's kind of an interesting take.
Nice.
Keeping on with the comics, what also came out, I believe late last week was the sequel one shot to Death Note. People remember the series in manga. Yeah. There was the sequel. There was a sequel, like little one shot manga that the creator did to Death Note. It was interesting, to say the least. I don't know if anyone
C minor.
Has anyone remember? It's not that long ago. Does anyone remember Death Note?
Yeah. I know the basics.
Yeah, so it's just about.
I saw part of the Netflix thing.
Yeah.
Boo.
I mean, it brings back the cast of characters. They're kind of just guest appearances, but it's a interesting read that has a very the premise is essentially that, and this is minor spoiler, but the premise isn't about the character using the Death Note as much as he inherits it and he has to decide what to do with it, and decides I'm gonna sell it. I'm gonna put up this thing that like gives you godlike powers, and I'm gonna make as much money off of this as I can. And it's all about him going through the auction and selling it off and people trying to figure out who it is. And
I believe, having not read this, but because I'm on the internet and I have a podcast, I have a stupid opinion that is correct. I believe this is the author talking about the popularity and selling out of Death Note, the concept.
Probably not.
I think I'm right.
You might be.
I don't know, man.
Read it and let me know. But
I'm not going to do that. No, okay. I'm just going to
stubbornly stick to my opinion, regardless of any facts that are brought to my attention. Opinion.
It's
the internet.
It does have a minor fatal flaw, I think, which is the ending is very Twilight Zone. Like, it's a very O. Henry ending, which doesn't really match up with how Death Note...
Hope it's literally somebody sells their hair for combs. All right. All right, cool. Well, let's not spoil too much, but interesting. Interesting.
No, he sells the Death Note for an O. Henry.
Interesting.
Literally an O. Henry ending.
Yeah.
I sold my Death Note for this magic beans that makes everyone immortal? I don't know how you want to Henry that, but we'll
for an unprofitable
podcast. We will workshop it, and then we'll let you know.
Yep.
If you want us to do a longer topic on this show, please let us know by messaging us on social media, the only platform we listen to. The real people, the real fans, listen to us on twitch.tv/nonproductive. And then one final note, actually a teaser for next week. Next week, Sonic the Hedgehog.
We're doing it.
We're talking about all of Sonic the Hedgehog and the movie probably as we see it. Yeah. Everything is horrible. That's what our lesson is for today. But yeah, next week, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Good night, everybody.
Gangsta's Paradise.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.